Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy.
Welcome back to episode 21 of Something Wrong with the Podcast. It's Julian. Before I go anywhere, call in 877-557-SWWP to get in contact with me, your intrusive thought therapist. You may be looking at my background if you're watching on YouTube, and if you're for those audio listeners, you're like, what is this new background? I'm sitting in front of a bookshelf. There's a photo sleeve to the side here, some smattered books from my childhood and my mom and dad's collection. I am at my parents' house. I came up for the week to celebrate two things: my brother's official rally and campaign for governor, which we'll get into in a bit, and my mom's birthday is coming up. Came home to celebrate her. We're doing a little dinner actually tonight, the day this comes out. So shout out to my mom. Happy birthday to mama. This house that my parents are in has some of the worst lighting of all time. So the laptop, I brought my laptop. I didn't bring the full camera setup, and we're just making it work. I got this laptop propped up on an old laundry hamper basket here, sitting in a desk chair behind here. We got the framed bookshelf here because it's the best it's going to get. But we're here. We're rocking. It's pretty hot in this room, so we're going to just have a good time. All right, guys? I know why most of you are here, and I did see the outpouring response, both positively and negatively, from my last episode. And I say thank you to both of you. It means you tuned in. It means you cared enough to listen. So for that, for the hate and the love, I really appreciate it. And I'm all for hearing accounts from both sides. And I did put a little piece about it on a tweet with some extra words and a Instagram post, pardon me. I did want to start today a little non-traditional. We're actually going to start with a voicemail because there was, I'll play one, maybe we'll do two, but there were some good responses to that episode. And I wanted to not just forget about that, because that was a big deal for me to get to that point, to have that moment. And I don't want it to just go by the wayside and move on to Trump and Elon, which again, we'll probably get to today. But I did want to acknowledge how I've internalized everything since that episode came out. So we're actually going to start with a voicemail here.
Hey, Julian. My name is Brian. Originally from New York, we're living in Austin. And I just want to say that I'm sending you so much love. And I think you just need to keep going. And I think as someone who's been incredibly loyal, who loves to make things happen and is a deep lover, someone who's a giver, I understand when folks twist that and don't acknowledge. I think I want to say to you, as you're navigating your journey, and I'm watching your episode, and I really feel it. I feel your emotion. I guess I want to say, as someone who to give you love, but also give you like sage advice, is like, I think the thing that you're looking for is acknowledgement from Rory and Maul, and I don't think you're ever going to get it. Don't hinge your emotions on someone else's acknowledgement, because when they're selfish and narcissistic, they're never going to give that because they don't know how to do that. So I think some of, you know, part of the healing process will be kind of like coming to accept that folks won't be able to acknowledge or won't acknowledge. They won't be able to give you that. And once you get over that hump, you're going to do incredible things. And so I can't wait for like the content that you're going to produce. But just know that you're the prize, man. Know that you're going to be okay. And you don't need these guys to kind of acknowledge what they did. You know what they did. You know the work you put in. You know how loyal you are. You know how much of a giver you are. And that's the thing that's meaningful. That's the thing that is true. You know, they went through their own things with Joe, and kind of insane that they have kind of done this now to one of their own kind of former proteges. But I think what I've learned is, you know, hurt people definitely hurt people, and you can't be corrupted by that. So, you know, don't worry about it. You know, you're going to keep creating content. I see the numbers going up. I love the show. So just keep doing it, man, and sending so much love. And you're going to be dope, dude. You're a fucking stud. So have a great summer, and yeah, man, I'll keep watching. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Brian. That was a very, very thoughtful voicemail. And I do want to address one thing, because I did want to make it clear in my response, the last episode, episode 20, and on my Instagram post, that you are right. At some point in my life, I expected more. And this, again, this obviously applies to them, but it just applies greater beyond. I found myself giving more than the people I was giving to saw my value as. Meaning, I was like, okay, if I'm giving 150%, 200% for everything that I'm doing, and I'm pouring myself into this, losing sleep to get stuff done, painstakingly thinking about clips and edits and thumbnails and writing descriptions and just writing skits and help writing live shows, that obviously that level of work and attention to detail won't go unacknowledged, and I will in turn be rewarded for those things, which obviously isn't the case. And I think I have admittedly done in the past, I've convinced myself that my hard work will in turn pay off for bigger, better, and greater things. And I'm assuming the role that the people that are in the positions of power are recognizing these things with the hopes of seeing me advance into seeing me progress in whatever respective field it is, which obviously isn't the case. This just being like the biggest lesson that I learned in a public one at that. I did say in the episode 20, there's that quote from the Batman trilogy that seemed to resonate with a lot of people. I don't know the exact quote, but it's along the lines of you can only meet people as deep as they met themselves. And that is, I'd say, the overarching theme of what I've come to learn over the years is I'm, again, projecting stuff onto people that they themselves don't even have, within their own capacity to do, whether that be for the good or for the better of other people. So I hear you, Brian. I really appreciate you, man. Thank you for the ongoing support. And yeah, man, like it's been a wild week, all things considered. I did want to, call more attention to some of like the criticisms, which is fine. Everybody's obviously entitled to their opinion. I made it very clear that, you know, until you've experienced or gone through, you'll never know exactly what I went through. But if you haven't been exposed or been in a situation even remotely close, again, say what you want, but, you know, it doesn't affect or influence how I feel or what the actual situation. There's very few people that know what actually happened. You can count them on one hand, and everyone's aware of how stuff shook out and what's shaken. So it looks like things went about as expected. I heard from somewhere Rory may have said something. I didn't check it. I got some emojis from Maul as expected. You know, that's as deep as he goes. But then, yeah, you know, life goes on. So we're here. We're podding, and I'm very excited to be here. I actually haven't been home since the holidays. Every time I come home, I revert back. I feel like I revert back to my younger years, to my childish self in some regard, because, you know, I lean on my mom to like cook, do like the home cooked meals and all that stuff. And, you know, there's something nostalgic about being in your childhood bedroom and seeing stuff. You know, I'm surrounded by old art projects that I made, like this thing that I made in high school, this bowl from clay, or my childhood copy of Goodnight Moon. Damn, everything is backwards over here. In that, actually, that butterfly over there, I believe I drew that in like second grade or something like that, or maybe even younger, probably younger, because it looks like a pretty shitty butterfly. So yeah, it's just it's cool to be back. It's always a pleasure, and I feel like I always say this when I come home: I need to do this more. I need to escape the city. I need to get around more nature and trees, and you know, see my family more, because my parents are, you know, getting out there, and life goes on. So I did want to start with my brother's political aspirations. For those that do not know, my brother is the lieutenant governor, former lieutenant governor now, I guess, because he got kind of booted after announcing his campaign. Antonio Delgado, he was the congressman of District 19 in the great state of New York, and has announced his candidacy. He's running for governor. The primary's in a couple weeks. If you are in New York, please tap in, hear his message, hear what he has to say. Obviously, I'm extremely biased, like it goes without saying. But he's saying some great stuff, and he held a rally in Schenectady, the hometown, at our local YMCA. And a few hundred people pulled up, a lot of signs. Actually, let me grab some of the signs here. It's pretty cool. Check this out. This is Antonio Delgado for NY. That is the website. If you are in New York, please tap in. And if you're not in New York, you should still listen to what he has to say. My brother's got an interesting platform. Obviously, he's kind of, he's positioned himself. He is a Democrat, but he's positioning himself as the villain or the bad guy of the Democrats because he's not falling into code. And we're going to get real local for a minute. Kathy Hochul is the governor of New York. Say whatever you want. Mixed reviews on her. I don't care to get into her politics or any of her policies. I don't really care too much about that. But point is, my brother, by nature, has the Republican Party against him, but now also has the Democrat Party against him, because anytime you step out of line or go against the, the norm and challenge your party, you're looked at like a bad guy. So he's running as a Democrat. He's fighting for the Democratic ticket, but he's kind of operating as an independent with a plan on kind of refacing and restructuring what it means to be a politician in general, but also he's really taking on the task of like redefining what a Democrat is, because the current state of things is not the best within the party lines. So it's pretty interesting to be pretty close. I've been talking to certain people on his team, trying to help in specific ways. If you are listening to this and want to contribute, obviously the best way to do that is via donations, which again is like Delgado4NY.com. I'm sure there's a bunch of links there to donate. And if you are in media, and specifically political media, I am helping my brother put together a little media circuit around the city. If you have podcast connections or certain recommendations you'd like to make, hit me up. I'm definitely trying to help any way I can, because I know my brother is the right person for the role, and I am very much in believing in his message as well. So pretty exciting stuff. That YMCA, though, that I did go to for the rally, I actually played basketball there this morning. It was full court pickup. Well, it was actually a league, not pickup. Did not expect that. The director for the Y was there, and he was kind enough to let me, come in. And I was like, I just want to get some shots up. You got a great gym here. He was like, oh, yeah, come by tomorrow. We'll get you situated. We'll put you on a team. And I was like, what team? What's that all about? All right, whatever. We'll see what happens. Pull up. Sure enough, there's pennies. There's refs. There's, six teams, and it's you play one game, 30-minute running halves, and your boy played all right. I didn't embarrass the family name. I should have had a damn triple-double if people could finish my assists, but I did have, I didn't keep track. I probably had like 13, 14 or so points and a bunch of rebounds, but everybody kept blowing my passes, unfortunately, for some easy layups. We did lose. The other team was significantly better, but I contributed, did my part. Had a nice and one. Highlight of my day, in and out, to the right, little jelly action off the backboard, got the lay, made the free throw, which is huge. It's not an and one if you miss the free throw. You got to finish the free throw. That was the highlight of my morning thus far. I am supposed to go golfing tomorrow morning with my dad at 7 a.m. We'll see how that goes. I don't know if I'll have... my knees are already hurting. My feet are already sore. We'll see how much recovery and rest I get over this sleeping tonight. Anyway, let's get into some politics. The biggest thing over the timeline, obviously, is the girls broke up. It is Pride Month, and Trump and Elon are having a big old gay fight. As expected, you're talking about two of the biggest egos ever. The richest man in the world, and someone that will tell you he's the richest man in the world and position himself as such. Trump and Elon is yacked out of his mind on ketamine, and seemingly the bill that set them apart is the big beautiful bill that seems to be the thing that untethered their relationship, mainly because Elon's EV for the electric vehicles, those tax cuts did not get approved, which is like kind of a big fuck you to Elon on behalf of Trump, considering all the things that he's done for his campaign. It is a little crazy that he kind of just left him out to dry on that. But it's also within Trump's, that's his thing. Like, cool, you do all this stuff for me and expect nothing from me. Hey, pretty similar to same playbook, I get it. So let's see here. Let's just do some top line stuff. The big, beautiful bill, Trump's tax bill, will add a roughly $2.4 trillion to the deficit and leave about 11 million or more uninsured, according to CBO. That's great. Okay, so that's off to a hot start. So, this is the thing with this bill I mean, it's obviously not great. We don't need to get too into the nitty gritty of it. It's going to hurt a lot of Americans, and it's not going to. There's like these temporary pain that ultimately they believe that the resolve will be better, which it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. But I do want to say it's kind of coinciding perfectly with these the LA ICE riots right now, where they've deployed the National Guard, and I believe it's like the first time in I don't know however many years exactly that the National Guard was deployed not by the sitting governor or local government, but by the president to handle something, which is highly unusual. And so now we have about 1,000 or so of the National Guard pouring into the streets of downtown LA and across Southern California, detaining people. I'm seeing videos of people protesting, throwing rocks at those trucks. We're seeing, you know, these officers with long AR guns and tactical military style gear, and they're, you know, all the military vehicles all there. Now we're actually seeing our tax dollars at work. That's where it's going. It's going to Humvees that have been sitting in a warehouse outside Los Feliz for 10 years. So it's nice to see them in action. It's nice to know these cars actually run. So kudos to us for paying for that shit. I think this is becoming like a red herring, just to kind of distract from this bill getting pushed through, kind of like, because I don't want to make it sound like I'm just piling on to the Republicans here. Remember when the submarine crashed? They're doing like a documentary on it, which I'm actually quite excited to see. When that submarine blew up, in the first 3 seconds it went under the water, it was pretty clear that they were cooked like a pressure cooker pretty quickly. But we ran with that story, and by we, I mean the media ran with that story for about a week and a half, I believe at least a week, with all these, you know, reports, and we think that they're here and they may be alive, or we just lost contact. And at the same time, there was something that Biden was working on. It was either something he had done, I believe it was it with Russia and Ukraine? There was something within the war that was going on, whether we were, you know, dumping billions of dollars to a foreign country or, you know, an ally, which Trump also has in this bill. I believe there's like 150 or so billion that's going to foreign government, Israel. So we know that there's a lot of stuff that the general public is against. Point is, we have these like more intimate, I don't want to call the submarine story a sexy story, but like a media world grab the world's attention story as a distraction, while the big bad, like, you know, wolf in sheep's clothing gets pushed to the edge. So it sounds like that's kind of what's happening here, because the clips on X and all over like the timeline make the what's happening in LA is awful, and it's disgusting. People are just, you know, getting snatched up and put in, you know, camps in El Salvador. I'm not excusing any of that behavior. It's abhorrent. It's terrible. We're destroying families and generations of people that have probably been here for you know, for years. People that were born here are just getting tossed around. But that is the easy, that clips well. That plays well online. That drums up a lot of attention, gets a lot of people angry about that particularly. The real bad stuff that's getting pushed through isn't, there's no clip of the bill getting signed. It's just going to get signed. And then in the coming months and years, we're going to see the ramifications of that bill. It's scary. We're not in a good place. I am curious to see what's next with Trump and Elon. Is Elon going to continue to press on the offensive? He, you know, casually tweeted that, oh, the big bombshell of the Epstein list is Trump is on the list. And it's like, well, no shit. Like, we've known that. Why? I don't get why that every time that gets repeated, It's as if it's the first time we've heard of it, or as if that wasn't something that we were privy to. They have quotes. What did Trump say? Jeffrey's a ladies' man. He likes him young. If there's one thing you know about Jeffrey, he keeps a young girl around. And there's tens of photos of them together. We know he's on the flight log. Like, what is the news that came with Elon announcing that? Besides him just like, I can just picture him just like clenching his jaw and just rattling off that tweet, like as if like, gotcha. It's like, you didn't get him at all. We've known this about the man. None of this is new information. That's like Gerard Carmichael using another, you know, couple $100,000 from HBO to tell the world he's gay again. It's like, bro, you told us 4 specials ago. Just tell jokes again. Stop making your career about you coming out to different members of your family. I don't get why we are so transfixed on the Epstein angle with Trump when we know that was his bag. They were boys. Like, that's not a surprise to anybody. Will, I believe I saw a screenshot on Truth, could be doctored, who knows? We're going to roll with it. That Trump said what's happening in South Africa is no longer a white genocide. He finally has flipped the script on that, which is clear. It's safe to assume that obviously that was something Elon was pushing from his end. So it's interesting. I mean, we're seeing it in real time. We're seeing their relationship tether apart. It is sad to see two of the world's most hated men butt heads. It is funny how quick Trump is to just dismiss someone and be like, whatever, dude, I don't care about you. You've poured hundreds of millions of dollars into my campaign and are a huge reason, a huge piece of why Trump got elected. And even someone like that is disposable. So kids, just know that everyone is disposable. I think that's the lesson here. In hip hop news, Lil Wayne dropped one of the worst albums of all time. This is something I've been saying for quite a while, and if you're familiar with my opinions on the GOATs, that wave, that era of hip-hop, you are aware of how I feel about Eminem in particular, talking about someone that was great and has fallen to the depths of hell with the quality of music that he's been putting out. Wayne is not too far from that conversation, and I know I sound hypocritical because I just saw Wayne at Dreamville Fest. And when on the old show, when I went to that show with the guys at the Apollo, I had a great time. I love Wayne's music. Wayne is awesome. The peak Lil Wayne is, it was my, you know, formal years in high school. At later middle school, that was incredible rap. Never take that away from him. But since then, it's been pretty bad, which is their pattern here. Hip hop's in a unique space because unlike other genres where, in rock and roll, in particular rock and roll, jazz too. I mean, it doesn't really apply so much in jazz, but in rock and roll, we've seen the turnover of artists. We've seen people retire. We've seen people just not put out new music and just become a legacy act. We've seen what it looks like to age out of relevancy and either sail off into the distance, you know, rich and ride out the rest of your life, or, you know, pop out, get a Vegas residency and get, you know, various bags and just have, you know, your name smattered in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, accept your award in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and go about your life. Hip hop is, for the first time, we're seeing its first turnover. And unlike sports, music doesn't force you to retire. There's no catastrophic knee injury or, Achilles tear that can take you out, that can make your skills on the microphone, just drastically worse. So while we're looking at something where I think in hip hop, it's a multitude of things. You've been rich for so long, that drive and hunger to be proven that you're a great artist is lost because you've proven it. You are a great artist. You've been living too cushy or comfortable of a lifestyle that it kind of stunts your creativity. And you also, you know, you've been doing something for 30, 40 years. Wayne's been a famous rapper since he was a child. He doesn't need, like, he's good. He doesn't need to do this anymore. He's done it. But how do you tell someone that this has been their entire life to stop doing something? Quite frankly, you can't. And especially when you have a team and a label and people, you're putting so much food on people's plates. Like, I want this to say it's a Lil Wayne's team. Like, the A&Rs and his digital team and the people that work really closely with him, you heard the album before it came out. You know that was dog shit. Like, you don't do that to a great. And I've been told I've heard Wayne can be difficult to work with when it comes to his music because he's, you know, we've always been highly critical of his ear, but he also lives in another world. He truly probably thinks it was an incredible album, that the art on that is, you know, life changing. This is his best work yet. It's just, I mean, the truth of the matter is the public will never lie. And the public will always remind you where you're at and where your standing is within the ranks of hip hop. Now, I sound like a hater, and I'm not hating on Lil Wayne because the day his album came out, he did a sold out show at Madison Square Garden. So who the fuck am I to criticize Lil Wayne? He solidified, and he's a legend. Again, loved his set at where the hell did I just see him? at Dreamville Fest when he came out, and I loved him at the Apollo. I truly am a fan of Lil Wayne. But we're just you don't need to do this. Like, let the Carter series, which is a legendary series, let it go. Like, let it live on its own. Let it speak for itself. Don't speak more about it. Don't speak more to it. Just let it speak for itself. You did it. I think there has to be some coalition or something that these guys can get into. The way in which when athletes retire, they go into coaching or they go into becoming a sports agent, and they still find a way to dip their toe into the game and find love for the product itself. Do these artists not want to... Wow, that is a loud motorcycle. Do these artists not want to go into the label side? The label side thing is actually pretty fucking nasty. I don't blame them for avoiding that. Or just go off. Just get away from the whole scene, man. But the turnover in hip-hop is very interesting. I think Jay-Z, this is like, of course, I'm going to big up Jay for a second. But seeing Jay-Z age and seeing how he's handled his older years, not just publicly, but also professionally with his music, it's abnormal for someone to maybe not get better, but evolve and stay extremely relevant to his current truth, where he is with his life, like how 444 is like a look in the mirror, and him like writing to himself as a man and addressing himself and being honest and vulnerable, and also staying current with sounds, production, but not it being corny in a lame way, like not jumping on a drill beat for the sake of doing the new sound that the kids are doing. You're still finding your uniqueness in a highly saturated genre that is moments-based. That's what's really incredible about what someone like Jay in particular has done. You don't need to chase or be someone that, you know, trend hops. You are the trend. So Jay-Z goes and does an album like that, and we're seeing other rappers kind of get out there, put their neck out there and wear their heart on their sleeve and say certain things that they never probably would have said before. Jay-Z had his, like, I'm into the high art phase, and that kind of influenced the culture with that as well. I think there is a very unique way to go about it. The truth of the matter is you need to do the work on yourself and be honest with your team as to meeting yourself where you're at and how you want that information to be shared with the greater public. And I think Wayne misses the boat on that. I think it's the music is cheap. It's not good. The quality in itself is bad. The lyrical ability is dog shit. Like, it's clear that he did this to do it. And the attention behind this album is because of his namesake and what he's previously done. And because it's another notch in an album of a series that's very well known and well respected. And I always find it difficult for when artists do another version of something that is well respected and well loved and kind of ruin it. All right, it's that time of the episode. We're going to do one more voicemail. We open with a voicemail. We're going to close with a voicemail. Call in to have your intrusive thoughts answered by my dumbass at 877-557-SWWP. To get in contact with me, your intrusive thought therapist. On this episode, for episode 21, because I am home, I have my mom off camera. She's not going to be on camera. She's also a little under the weather, so ignore the tone and don't make fun of her voice, because it's not the best right now, but the advice is still great. So we're going to play this episode, Bliss voicemail. Well, actually, do you remember this person that we talked to?
I do.
Can you use the mic?
I do. I'm not used to this.
No, yeah. So this should be fun. Let's play. I'm sure they give us a little recap here. It's really long.
Hey, Julian. It's Jazz June. I was the guy that spoke with you and your mom and yourself reached out to me. And it really meant a lot. I just wanted to say I appreciate it. I started taking care of myself, and I just want to let you know I'm doing better. I started doing pickleball, which is weird. So one of my friends was like, yo, come play pickleball. So being more active has definitely been helping. I started talking to somebody. She's very receptive to everything that I talk to you guys about. It's a little scary that she's that open to conversation. I'm not very used to that. I grew up in the South, and I'm just like, you know, I mean, I'm like fucking 34, so it's like I'm still ingrained in this mentality that like you can't be this or that, or you look like a soft person or whatever. But I'm scared that like I've met someone that actually like we have these deep conversations about and deep like I'm a little smitten. I'm not gonna lie, Julian, a little smitten. I met her not through a dating app for once in my life. When I met her, I was still like in the process of like healing and stuff, and I'm afraid like, damn, am I like moving too fast, and I haven't even became like my full self yet. But the fact that she's accepting of me not being my full self but still like wants to support me, it's just very interesting, Julian. So any advice would be great.
I think music's a great unifier. Before we get into the relationship, I want to just be like, congrats, man. Like, that's
great news.
Use the mic.
It's great news. It really is.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, the pickleball, it's funny. Like, I'm a big proponent of physical activity being a great fix for things. You never know what it is until you try something. Like, I want to try pickleball. I want to get into actually tennis, too. But it's always that thing that you look at. I know what you mean in terms of, like, with the girl, you're like, damn, like, we talk about different stuff. And, like, the easy way to describe it, which I've said to my therapist, I'm like, it's just gay. But he knows what I mean by that. It's not like gay isn't like gay is bad. It's just like gay in the sense that we were, not by you and dad, but like our generation, just like men are not told to do certain things or say certain things because it's like lame. Really, it's lame, but gay is the term for it. So I say that to my gay therapist, and he laughs. He knows what I mean. He knows it's not in a homophobic way. But anyway,
I think that congratulations. I'm just going to repeat what Julian said. That it's great to hear. I can hear it in the tone in your voice that you've feel a lot lighter about things, and that light in the good sense that you've worked at getting out some of this stuff that was making it so difficult for you to find your way. You made some big changes by leaving, identifying that the job on the base was not working for you, and not just a career perspective, but probably also on the emotional side of things. And I'm glad you can see the importance of making decisions that are just as important about how you feel emotionally. And you know, not just weighing out the practical side of why it's either good to stay in the job or leave the job. But there's one thing that you, the hesitation regarding this young woman that you've met and that you're really connecting with, and you can open up to her, she's receptive to it. It isn't just on the surface. You're able to talk about your feelings, your questions about life, the things that have been difficult for you in the past. These are the stepping stones to building meaningful connection with someone. And that, to me, is the definition of true intimacy.
Mm.
So the thing that I think can be challenging at 34, at any age, to be honest with you, but you really are working on this stuff now, so that by the time you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond, you will understand the importance of being vulnerable and transparent. It really is about that, with people you feel you are connecting with on a meaningful level. Now, that's not to say that you won't be hurt by being vulnerable, and you might want to go back into your shell, or because it's a way to protect yourself. Totally understandable. But may that not be the place that you live from forever, because to have true connection in life, and we're all humans on this planet really trying to find meaning, you know? We want to give love, we want to receive love. And the way to work at making meaningful connection is to allow yourself to be vulnerable, transparent, and to understand that there's risk involved in living that way. So there's risk involved in getting connected with someone because it's not a guarantee that it will last forever. You know, the old expression, some people come into your life for a season and other people are here for a lifetime. But we don't know those things when we meet people. So try your best just to be proud of how much growth you've accomplished, where you are. So many months from February, you've made a lot of
progress. Yeah, honestly, to your initial point, you hear it in his tone, like that alone.
Absolutely.
It's crazy how much that, and to bring it more to like a, I guess, just it, to apply the male mind here.
Sure.
When I was competing in track in high school and in college, I had a really good high school coach. And more often, my high school coach would say, hey, you know, if I jumped, but when I did races and we would do like block training, my coach would say, you have to lean over the line when you're in the 3-point stance and you lean over the line out of the blocks and your arms would shake and you're shaking and it hurts and there's discomfort. And I'm like, I don't want to, this doesn't feel good. And he's like, it's a half a second of discomfort to make you that much better of an athlete. And I think applying that to weightlifting too, when you're maxing out, and we always talk like as men, like I'm bench pressing, I'm maxing out meaning you're putting up the most weight you can, but in doing so, you know, you're tearing your muscle because that'll grow back stronger muscle. We're so comfortable with pushing ourselves to that limit physically, whether it be with weightlifting. I'm sure you're pushing yourself every time you step on the pickleball court to be better, do new things, like risking injury. But when it comes to the emotional side of our lives, we very much operate in that space of comfort. I know I have. I like the analogy of coming out the blocks. I'm not going to make that forward lean. I'm not going to put all my weight on the tips of my toes. Like, I'm going to avoid that at all costs when it comes to building a meaningful relationship with a girl. And more often than not, with me in relationships, it's the girl's always so far ahead of me with that aspect of stuff, which has been a deterrent in the past. I've run quite a bit away from that because I'm just not ready to get there. And the fact that you're acknowledging that but not running away, mm-hmm. you're ahead of me in that regard, man. Like, that's awesome.
Absolutely. I was just thinking that maybe ask yourself, would a young woman like this who you've met, would you be attracted to her or able to spend time with her, connect with her, had you not gone through the struggle, the discomfort, the serious discomfort that you were feeling when you first called in, and then the work that you've done to try to help better understand what's going on, you know, inside of you, so that now, I don't know what your belief system is, but now the universe or, you know, something greater than us or God has presented you with a person that now you're very receptive to her. You're smitten. You use that word. It's scary. At the same time, I think I can read between the lines a little bit because it's going to hopefully help you or force you in a good way to continue to grow as an individual. Be exactly what Julian's talking about. You're leaning forward. You're within this block and you're on the precipice of more growth. It's uncomfortable, and that's where the growth always happens.
It reminds me of that clip you sent me on the other day, from the Louis C.K. show about the risk of everything comes to an end, everything ends, whether it be, you know, death or just a falling out of sorts, and he's miserable. And there's that whole conversation about misery. Maybe I'll attach it here because I think it'll actually be a good message for Jazz to hear at the end of this episode.
So you took a chance on being happy, even though you knew that later on you would be sad.
Yeah.
And now you're sad.
Yeah.
So what's the problem?
I'm too sad. Look, I liked the feeling of being in love with her. I liked it. But now she's gone and I miss her and it sucks. And I didn't think it was going to be this bad. And I feel like, why even be happy if it's just going to lead to this? You know, it wasn't worth it.
Boy, misery is wasted on the miserable.
What?
You know, I'm not entirely sure what your name is, but you are a classic idiot. You think spending time with her, kissing her, having fun with her, you think that's what it was all about? That was love?
Yeah.
This is love, missing her because she's gone, wanting to die. You're so lucky. You're like a walking poem. Would you rather be some kind of a fantasy, some kind of a Disney ride? Is that what you want? Don't you see, this is the good part. This is what you've been digging for all this time. Now you finally have it in your hand, this sweet nugget of love. Sweet, sad love. And you want to throw it away. You've got it all wrong.
I thought this was the bad part.
No! The bad part is when you forget her. When you don't care about her, when you don't care about anything. The bad part is coming, so enjoy the heartbreak while you can, for God's sakes.
Ma, it's Tuesday when this comes out. It's your birthday.
That's right.
Jesus, what is going on over here? Sorry, we're like live off of like a drag race street. How old are you turning?
I'll be 67.
67. Mm-hmm. What's the goal this year?
Continuing to be more vulnerable and transparent.
I don't think you need to work on that.
And you know, I've learned the power of no, and that's a big thing for me, and a lot of women of my age. So I'm no in the sense that we speak our truth, that we just don't agree to everything.
And I've seen you do that, which is new,
yeah.
Which is exciting.
Because culturally, and you know, the generation in which I was born and the cultural aspect of my life, it wasn't okay for us to set up boundaries. And there's a way to be truthful to the power of no, but at the same time be loving and giving. Two things can coexist. Three things can coexist. So it's powerful.
Yeah. 67.
I hope there's going to be peace in the world. I'm always hoping for that. So.
Yeah, you're a ways away from that.
Well, hopefully, honey. You know, we've lived through a lot of things. Hopefully, it'll all work out in the end.
Trump's gonna win another term. We're in for a great run here.
Right. Oh dear.
Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to go hang. I'm going to go back downstairs and hang out with my parents. Mom, thank you again for... I don't ask you to do this. I tell you to do this. This is when you never say no to this. You got a power of no.
Well,
say no to this.
I was so happy he called in again. I'd be more than willing to speak to him again.
Yeah.
So cheers to him.
That's exciting. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. It's episode 21 of Something Wrong with the Podcast. I'm going to be up here hanging with my parents for the week. It's going to be good. Just get away from the city. Eat some good food and, you know, keep etching those memories with the family. I hope you do the same. Love you. Talk to y'all later. You'll see me post on socials and all that. Peace. Nothing wrong with the pussy. Nothing wrong with the pussy. Nothing wrong with the pussy. That was great. Yeah, honestly, I'm happy for that.
And the one thing I didn't get to say, and if he ever calls back again, is that let's say this doesn't work out with this girl. There isn't failure in it.
No.
He's allowed himself to be open to it.